Today we begin a study of the book of Philippians. This is a great book. It is a great book in many different ways. It is full of all kinds of lessons and much encouragement for Christian people in their everyday life. And before we begin our verse-by-verse study of the book of Philippians, we're going to go back to how the church started in the city of Philippi. We're going back to Acts chapter 16. This is where the church began. And as we look at the history and background of the church in Philippi, we'll better understand what Paul says in this book, and we'll appreciate more some of the things in particular that he's going to say in the book of Philippians. So let's go back and pick up that background in Acts chapter 16. The history of the church at Philippi begins in Acts 16, verse 9. This is where the Bible says, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'" Now, Philippi is a city in Macedonia. So Paul and his companions went into Macedonia. The Bible says that they entered into Philippi in verse 12, and then in verse 13, the Bible says, "On the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither." And what happened on this occasion is that you have the first converts to Christianity in the city of Philippi. In verse 14, the Bible says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, 'If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there.' And she constrained us." So here we have the first Christians then in the city of Philippi. You have Lydia, and you have these women who are with her, and you have her household. Then the Bible tells us that Paul and Silas were preaching the gospel in the city of Philippi when they were opposed. As a matter of fact, they were arrested. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 16, that there was a certain damsel who had a spirit of divination. And she had told the so-called fortunes of people in that city, and her masters made a lot of money off of her. The Bible tells us that Paul cast the demon out of this woman, and when that happened, her masters realized that they could no longer make any money off of her, and they had Paul and Silas arrested. Then the scriptures tell us that Paul and Silas were beaten. The Bible says that they laid many stripes on them, and they threw them into prison. And it's there that they met the man that we know of as the Philippian jailer. Now, the Philippian jailer was asleep at the time that the great earthquake occurred. It shook the foundations and the doors and the bands that were in the prison. And the Bible says that eventually this Philippian jailer asked the question, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And the Bible says that they taught him the gospel. He believed in Jesus Christ, and he was baptized and his household. Now, those are your first converts. They are the core members of the church there in the city of Philippi. So as you read the book of Philippians, you'll notice several things in that book that will hearken back to what we've read here in Acts chapter 16. For instance, in the book of Philippians, Paul talks about being persecuted, and he reminds these people that they had seen him being persecuted. They knew about his persecution, and then he tells them that they're also going to be persecuted. Well, Paul and Silas had been beaten, and they had been thrown into prison. So these Philippians knew what persecution was about. Now then, let's talk about some of the key topics that we're going to see in the book of Philippians. One of the great themes in this book is Christian optimism, looking on the bright side of things in spite of circumstances, staying positive, and realizing that God can bring good out of bad situations. This book is a wonderful book when circumstances really look dark and gloomy. For instance, this is the book where Paul reminds these Christians that in spite of all the bad things that have happened to him, he wants them to understand that good has come out of those bad situations. That's chapter 1, verse 12. He said, I want you to understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. He's assuring these people that everything that's happened to him, and we might stop there and just recall that Paul has been beaten, Paul has been thrown into jail while he was there, and now, as he writes this book of Philippians, he is in jail again. This time, Paul is in prison, and it apparently is the same imprisonment in which we find him writing the book of Ephesians and Colossians and Philemon. We call these prison epistles. The book of Philippians is another prison epistle. And apparently, this is the imprisonment that we read about in the last part of the book of Acts, chapter 28. Where Paul actually is not in a dungeon, he's not in a prison cell, he's under house arrest, but he's still a prisoner. He's not free to come and go as he chooses. And so the circumstances are not good for the Apostle Paul. He cannot board a ship and just go and preach to some people in a distant city when he chooses. He has to stay there. So Paul says, in spite of everything that's happened to me, I want you to understand that all these things, all this adversity that has come upon me has actually furthered the gospel of Christ. And we're going to read and study about what he meant by that in chapter 1. But that's not the only example by any means of Christian optimism in this book. Paul also talks about going before the Roman government in chapter 1, verses 19 through 24. And the Roman government had the power either to set him free or to execute him. But Paul says, it doesn't make any difference whether they set me free or take my life. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now that is the very pinnacle of Christian optimism in this book of Philippians. What is life about? Christ. What is dying about? Gain. That was Paul's attitude, and that's the kind of mindset that Christians need to have today. So keep your eye out for Christian optimism throughout the book of Philippians. The second topic that you're going to see over and over again in the book of Philippians is giving, especially sacrificing for the good of other people, thinking about the needs of other people and not thinking about oneself. You see this especially in Philippians chapter 2. That's where Paul says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That's chapter 2, verse 4. And then in chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, in the very next verse, he gives the greatest example of giving, sacrificial giving, that we could find anywhere. And that is the example of Jesus Christ. Not just the example of Jesus dying on the cross. Paul goes back to the time before that. Paul talks about Jesus being in heaven, being in that heavenly realm and enjoying all the benefits and all the blessings of being in heaven, and Jesus gave that up. He gave that up for us. That is sacrificing. That's one of the main themes that you find in this book, that Christians think about other people and they give up things that they might want to do or that they might want to have so that they can benefit other people. Now, that is true, genuine love. Then you also read about Epaphroditus in this book, who is a great example of sacrifice. The Bible says that he was sick near to the point of death, and the reason that he got sick and almost died was because he was doing service for these very people, these Christians that Paul is writing to. And in the middle of all that, Paul talks about how that Timothy is the only one that he can send to Philippi to do the work that needs to be done there. And the reason that Paul didn't have anybody else to send is because he tells us very plainly in Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20 and 21, was because all were seeking their own and not the things which were Christ Jesus. In other words, everybody else was doing his own thing. There were too many other selfish people in the church to do that work, but not Timothy, and certainly not Epaphroditus. And then, of course, you have Paul himself. Because Paul had all of these accomplishments and all of these privileges and all of these attainments in the Jewish religion and the Jewish nation, but he gave them up. He sacrificed those things so that he could be a Christian and a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So keep your eye out for the idea of giving in this book. It has a lot to say about it. Many commentaries also point out, and many preachers have made this point, that the book of Philippians is also about joy. This short book talks a great deal about joy. And one of the most well-known verses in this book, of course, would be Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, where the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Christian people oftentimes lose their Christian joy. They get so down and discouraged because of what they face in life that they lose the rejoicing that God wants us to have. So the book of Philippians is a good book to read to help us to maintain or to recapture the true joy that we need to have as children of God. And then you're going to find also that the book of Philippians says a great deal about how to have true peace of mind, about how to have real mental health. This book tells us not to worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Instead of worrying, instead of being anxious, this book tells us to take that time and that energy that we put into worrying and put it into prayer. And as you pray, thank God. Thank God for your blessings. Thank God that you're not in a worse condition than you are. And ask God to help you. If you're a child of God, the Bible says that we need to pray to God. We need to ask God. So the Bible tells us if we do this, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, if we commit our request to God rather than worrying about our troubles, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep, that is, it will guard our hearts and our minds through Jesus Christ. The word guard there, or keep in the King James, is a very important word because that means that the peace of God will keep us from going in the wrong direction with how we think. It will keep us settled. It will keep us tranquil. And that is what we desire more and more in our lives. Now, that is what this book of Philippians is about. And then you see the key to real peace of mind and real, true mental health, good mental health, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, where Paul talks about contentment. He says, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Now remember, as Paul writes this book, and he talks about being optimistic, he talks about giving and sacrificing for the good of others. And as he talks about Christian joy, and as he talks about this peace that passes understanding, remember who wrote this book, and remember the circumstances that he was in when he wrote this book. He is a prisoner of the Roman government. And yet he tells us in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11, "I have learned, in whatever state I am, therewith to be content." And in the next verse, Philippians 4, verse 12, he tells us that he knew how to be full and how to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." So as you read this book, look out for the idea of Christian optimism. Look for the idea of giving. Look for the idea or the theme of joy. And watch for the topic of peace of mind and true, real mental health. These and many other lessons are awaiting us in the study of the book of Philippians.